Somebody! Everywhere we go, we make it better. Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're making it better just sitting next to me. I love it. What an already fun morning. I mean, we've had power outages, and we've been yelling and screaming and dancing, and man, so good. Sing a song, and it just kind of blew the doors off. Listen, I'm so grateful that you're here, and of all the places that you could have gone and done on a Sunday morning, nothing compares to being in the house of the Lord. I know it feels good outside, but it's better in here. I was hugging somebody, and they're like, man, you leave for a while, and then you come back, and you're like, this is so good. So my reminder is, then come every week. Don't miss. Hey, so I want to pray for us, and we'll get started. And I'm so excited for Vision Sunday 2020. Jesus, we thank you that you're in charge. You're already doing mighty things in our midst, and we thank you for what you're about to do. What you've done, what you're about to do, and what you'll continue to do. We say yes and amen to it all. And Lord, we just pray for everyone where Austin keeps trying to reject them with cedar. And we say that Austin doesn't get to choose who stays. You do. So I am declaring over all of our bodies that cedar does not have the final word, but Jesus does. We thank you, Lord, that God, no matter what the enemy or Austin throws at us in our job, in our health, in our communities, God, we thank you that you speak a better word. So, Lord, we declare today that the enemy has been defeated, and we will be a victorious people that will see Austin come to you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. So one of the things that we do every year is something we call Vision Day, and it's a particular Sunday where I declare what I feel the Lord is saying to us as a community. And last year, 2019, I had the word expand. And you know what's funny? When the Lord gives you this word, you have an idea of what that's going to look like. And so as soon as I said it, man, I was like, yeah, this is going to be a year and expansion and going here. We're going to grow and everything's going to be awesome. And then one by one, it was like the Lord was working on expanding my heart. Do you know how the Lord expands your heart? Yeah. Like 2019, I don't know about you, but it's like the Lord gave me this word, and then all of a sudden I realized that he was actually meddling in my heart. And I am not a big fan of meddling in my heart sometimes. But what I found was that the Lord was wanting to expand our heart because we're constantly gravitating towards brokenness. And we hold on to limitation of what he can do and what he can do through us. So yes, he was saying expansion, but he had to first work it in, you and I. And so I just want to give you a blanket so you can look back in 2019 and go, oh, yeah, that's what you were doing. He was wanting to get to the areas of our heart because he wants us to step into 2020 with no area being held back from him. It's just like the Israelites when they came out of Egypt and God kept telling them all the big things that he wanted to do, but they still kept holding on to being a slave. So every time God was like, let's do it, they're like, no, we can't. We can't do it. Why? Because that area of their heart hadn't been explored by who God is. So 2019 for me and for our staff, and I believe for many of you, was this season of, yeah, thanks a lot for all of that, Lord. But you know what? I love it. Because he doesn't want us to stay the way we were. Because he's called us to more. So his desire for expansion is actually there, but he first wants to make sure that we can handle it. And so 2019 was expand. I want to read a couple of different verses, but go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 in the message, and here it is. And this is what it says. I just got it while the lights were going out. I was like, yeah, let's just read this one. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' servant. He says, Moses, my servant is dead. Get going. Cross the Jordan River, you and all the people. Cross to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on. Just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness, and then he kind of paints the picture of what that looks like. It's yours. All your life, no one will be able to hold out against you. In the same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage. You are going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you. Every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you're going. 2020. The word that my wife already snuck it in there is fight. I believe that the word that the Lord has given us is fight. This year, we are going to be fighting. Not a flesh and blood fight. Not against people or places. But we are going to fight, because when you think about Israel, Moses brought them out of the promised land. And finally Joshua said, we can do this. And when they started crossing over and they went in, they had to fight for every square inch. God already gave it to them, but they had to fight for it. And I believe in 2020, that we are here to fight for what God has given us. I want to read one more verse, and then we're going to unpack this a little bit more. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18, and this is what it says. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best material, and put them to you so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential on this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Vision for 2020 is fight. So let's unpack this idea of fight. Is number one, I believe that we are to fight for each other. I have been overwhelmed with the reality of what God is speaking for 2020, and I'll give you an example. I was praying for someone specifically, and while I was praying, they sent me a text. Man, struggling, need prayer. I was like, yeah, this is not on accident. So I responded back, where are you? I will come right now. I get in the car in the parking lot of where this individual was at, and I just start praying. And the person said to me, he goes, man, I didn't even know that God could, I mean, like, you literally changed my blood pressure, my heart rate. Like, he's got an eye on a thing on his phone, and he's like, or his wrist or whatever that thing is. And he's like looking at it. And he's like, man, God began to already do something. Listen, there are people in our community and in the city that are desperate for God to move. And for whatever reason, we feel alone. So guess what we do? We stay isolated and we just kind of like grin and bear it. If we're going to fight for what God has for us, we've got to fight together. We've got to throw off our pride, and I'm so proud of him because he reached out. But it can't just be everybody texting me. You're like, man, I didn't know I could text Pastor Ryan and he would do that. I shouldn't have used that story. Listen, honestly, I would love to come to all of your houses, parking lots, places of work, and pray with you, but I can't. God didn't design me to be that person, but you know what he designed is for us to be in a community and fight for each other. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, but it's so difficult for us to get together and fight for one another. So here's what's interesting in Esther, the story of Esther. She's this beautiful woman that the king ends up taking and bringing in and marrying her, and she becomes the queen. And there was this bad dude in the kingdom that made the king, helped the king kind of put a decree together that we should just kill the Jews. Sounds like a good idea. And Mordecai, her cousin, in verse 13 of chapter 4 says this. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Why? Because she was like, what does this have to do with me? I think all of us feel that. Like, I'm just barely holding on, man. I don't even want to hear about their problems. Every time I get together with so-and-so, I feel like that's all they're just talking about. This is a struggle. And man, I'm just trying to make it on my own. Like, think about her. She's been snatched out of her family. She's in the palace. Everything is new. How many of you have moved here from a different state? Yeah, the rest of you are unicorns. It all feels new to all of us. Our life, our circumstances, our situations, our bank account feels new every time I look at it. Like, dang, why does that thing keep going in the wrong direction, yo? So Mordecai told Esther, you've got to go before the king and make a difference. You got to step in. And she's like, what? You don't understand the pressure I'm under. I can't just walk into the king's palace and tell him what to do. And this is Mordecai's response. Verse 13, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will rise up from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? We were called to fight for each other. We have to engage. We can't sit back. We were put in the position that we are so that we can stand for each other, so that we can help one another. Why? Because God wants to do something supernatural in our midst, and we were designed to fight for each other. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, look at what it says. It says, so take a new grip. Oh man, I'm struggling. Man, I'm having a hard time. I love this. He's like, man, come on, mature believer. Take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out straight paths for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become. Oh, dang! It's time to fight for each other. It's time that we stand with one another. And listen. This is not just another message about groups. Because to be honest, I know you're like, ah, oh, crap. It's like every church, that's all we talk about, and everybody kind of crap. I believe it's a strategy of God. When that man needed help, he could have just sat in his vehicle and been miserable. And then gone into his own mind, which none of us ever do, because our mind always helps us. And then we just sit there and navel gaze and feel miserable about ourselves. And then what does the enemy do? Well, I guess I'm just not going to go to church because nobody cares. In my worst moment, nobody's reaching out to me. So then we completely isolate ourselves from the ones who we're supposed to fight with and for. So why groups? Because we were designed to strengthen our weak arms and feeble knees so that those around us can be strengthened. We were meant to fight for one another, because I'll just tell you, when I get alone, I think some crazy stuff. But when we get together, man, and we hear about what's going on, we need to take a stand. I'm not letting the devil mess with you anymore. We're going to pray right now. We're not going to talk about it and just, oh, man. I think in groups, there's a couple of things there to build authentic relationship, to pray for each other and encourage one another through God's word, the Holy Spirit, and generosity. We have to fight against our culture. By the way, there's a bar right down the street here. I drive by it every night and it's packed. People sitting outside in the freezing cold, hanging out. Actually, we like it. But for whatever reason, we get in church and we're like, crazy people. You know why? Because we don't want anybody to meddle in our own business. We like just doing it on our own. Let me ask you a question. How that's been working for you? 2020 is the message is fight. And if we're going to fight, we have to, number one, fight for each other. And how are we going to fight for each other? Is by gathering together every week, not just in this room where you're sitting kind of off by yourself. But you know what my vision is? Is that every single person would be in a life-giving group where people are standing with them and for them. And you know what? Then you start seeing the momentum of what God wants to do in your life. And you start showing up and you start being generous because you're being blessed, because you're surrendering your life and you're living on purpose. But it means we got to get in. We got to do something. We got to break down our walls. We got to be willing to sit with people. We got to be willing to talk it out. We got to be willing to share. Why? Because God intended us to do it together. I need you to fight for me. And I want to fight for you. But I cannot fight for everybody. And by the way, this is the smallest this room will ever be. And as we grow, we are going to become a mega church that is very small. There are people walking in our doors that are desperate for Jesus to move in their life. And if we don't make a decision to get out of our world and incorporate them, I just want you to know what happens, because I watch it and my staff watch it. People come to our church and they're like, man, this is the greatest church ever. I experienced God. And they come a couple of times and then they disappear. And I'm like, where did they go? Because they didn't get connected. So we have to make a decision that when we show up, we're not just showing up for ourselves. We're showing up for people who are desperate for connection. That's why Hebrews says, listen, us in this room have to strengthen our funky elbows and our goofy knees so that those coming in can be strengthened and healed. Amen? How else are we going to fight for each other, letter B? First one was fight for each other in groups, and second one is fight for each other in gatherings. We fight by gathering together each week to celebrate the victory we have found in Jesus. I got a couple of points there, and they're pretty bold and in your face, but I think it's good for us to be reminded. I made that, by the way. It's pretty cool. I downloaded a font and everything. It was really rad. You guys know how it feels when I'm not here. Dean and I are both gone, and somebody kind of gets up here, and you're like, oh, they're gone, because it's a stranger. Who's that doing the transitions? And you're like, yeah, you kind of already think to yourself. That's why we don't announce it, because I know half of you are like, hi, how are you going? What's the hell? Watch football. So listen, I'm just one part of the body. I might just be the big lips that have been injected with collagen or whatever that is. Is that right? Is it collagen? Okay, good. I might be pretty. But you just take me off of the face and you set me on the side. I'm that's just weird. We are all a part of the body. And listen, if the arm decides to stay home, everybody in the room feels it. You're like, well, no one really notices me. You are such an integral part of this house that when you come early to worship, okay, all right, let's just break it down. I'm breaking it this morning, okay? You know who comes early to church? Are people who are here for the first time. So I'm coming in and I see, and people who've never been here ever, they're the ones that come in and they sit down and they're looking around. Has anybody come to this church? They're just sitting there all by themselves waiting for people. And then many of us decide, well, man, I'm just tired of cedar fever. It's just, you know, I'm not going to show up. And then they're sitting in a row all by themselves wondering, what is it with this church? Nobody wants to sit next to me. That's because 15 people decided to stay home. And those 15 people would have made a difference in that person's life, because there would have been some kind of connection. That's why groups are so important. Because you're like in a life-giving group and you see someone here for the first time, you're like, hey, this week, Wednesday, we're meeting in my house. Come be with us. And then no longer is it just them trying to show up to church going, I mean, how many of you guys tried other churches before you came here? And how did that feel? Was that fun? No. Man, walking in the back door and going, I wonder if this is going to be it, man. And no one says hi to you, and you're just like, well, God, what are you saying? Because I sure feel like I'm getting the hell out of here. And then you evaluate everything, don't we? We evaluate the worship. Is it too loud? Is it too soft? Oh, my goodness, they're using lights. Man, it feels like the world. Oh, God. And is the pastor this? And what's he going to do? And that's why I try to dress up, because you're looking at me for 30 minutes. I'm messing with our Kool-Aid this morning, not because I'm angry, but because I believe God's called us to fight. And we all have to realize we play a part in this fight for what God wants to do. And there's been too much said about this campus. There's been too much said about Expression Church in the spirit for us to just sit back and wait for it to happen. The church before us that owned this and built it was named Church of the Hills. They believed that God was going to use them for revival in this city. People came from all over to listen and be a part of some kind of awesome declaration. And they morphed into us. We are them. And I'm here today to tell you that the promises that God spoke to them have not stopped, but will continue. But because a group of people determined to gather together. Put that slide back up so I can read it to everybody so they can really hear it. Don't stay home. I mean, I get you're on vacation and stuff. Like, you know, the Frierson's went on like 17 weeks of vacation. I'm like, where is Heather? That's all right. There's forgiveness. No, listen, I get it. I get there's things that you intend. But just don't stay home because. And be here early, because you know who shows up early? Are people who are here for the first time looking for community. And when you come early, don't just find your seat, mount it, put your plaque on it, and protect it. Because there might be some bad guys coming in who might take it from you. I got security that will make sure they don't. So then venture out. Why do we do it every week? You're man, I hate it when we do the question. Do you know why we do the question? Because I'm trying to help those who just showed up at the last song to realize their value with the people around them who've come for the first time looking for God to move in their life. And so what do? We just stay right in our seat and we talk to the two people around us, and usually that's our child and our spouse. Come on, mature believer. If we're going to fight, we got to realize that the fight is for something much bigger than just ourselves. Oh, Lord Jesus. And the last one is step into faith for others. I want to, I got 7 minutes. All right, perfect. I don't normally talk like this on a Sunday morning. Babe, in my bag, there's a rag. I need to start batting my forehead. I didn't make it cold enough in here for everybody. But I'm definitely not taking off my power jacket, so. Yes, it is a little short, but they don't make jackets for 6'4" guys. So it is what it is. We have to make a decision. And I want to read. What was I going to say? Oh, last point, step into faith. That's right. Melissa and the team meet all throughout the week. She's praying and asking the Lord to set up a worship list, because worship is priority in this house. Because we realize that the victory comes from Jesus. And our faith is connected to our words. And the more we talk about what God can do, the more we actually believe it. So it's the reason why we worship like we do, and we do it for the time that we do it in. Now, you should just be grateful, because if Melissa had her way, we would worship for an hour. But she doesn't get her way because I'm her boss. And I realize that we have to kind of put it into a context that people can experience and feel comfortable and not feel like they're choking. Because this isn't just for us. But the last point is step into faith. If you know that it's for 20 minutes, then don't wait till we're on the final song that you're like, first song. It's a little loud today, isn't it? Or maybe you're still in the parking lot or driving on your way. And the first song, by the way, is designed by her to lift the atmosphere, because we believe that in this atmosphere, God wants to actually do supernatural things. And so when we stand and not participate, your voice is missed. And when your voice is missed, it causes a ripple effect in the room. Now listen, if you're here for the first time, just relax for a second. But those of you that call this home, when you worship, you're not just even worshiping for yourself. You're shifting the room with faith, for those who are struggling need to hear your voice. Zane's up here sitting on a stool, his knees like half broken. He's like trying to play this song that he didn't even want to play, but Melissa told him to play. And he's like trying to sing with everything he's got. And I don't know if you felt it, but when he got to that part, shout out to God with a voice of triumph, man, I was like, ah! It's like, this is it. Jesus, come back right now, please. But that should be our intention the moment we show up. Listen, it's not even for you. It's for the atmosphere in the room and people walking in that we believe that God wants to show them how good he is and lift what they've been carrying for years by an atmosphere of faith. So step into faith for others. Now listen, you don't have to come in the front row. I don't need you in the front row. Actually, I need some of you in the back row. But listen, when you're in the back row, sing. Lift your hands, worship God, be crazy back there. Push faith forward. Because we are all a part of the body, and every time you lift up your voice, there is faith coming out of you, and people can feel it. How else are we going to fight this year? The first one is we're going to fight for each other, and the second point is we have to fight for this community. There's something much bigger that God wants to do in this house, and I've seen it. It's the reason why we sold everything we had and we moved to a city we'd never been. It's the reason why Chad, who was the lead pastor of an amazing church, Church of the Hills, decided that we were better together. And ended up giving us this entire 10-acre property. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah was a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes in Persia in 445 BC. He was an Israelite that had been captured and he was serving the king. And as serving the king, he realized that Israel was in disrepair. And his heart was broken that a place that God had called a group of people together was broken down. And so he asked the king if he could go to Israel and be a part of a group of people to build the walls. And so when he got there, there was so much opposition for them to build the walls that he had to make a decree of how they were going to build. You see, God's called us to build a community that actually shapes this city, that becomes a light for many. And I believe that God wants us to build a living campus. And what does that mean? A place that Monday through Sunday, there are people being healed and set free in our community. A living campus is, it means it's alive with God's purposes all throughout the week. Listen to what Nehemiah says, verse 14. Then as I looked over the situation, this is people abandoning their posts because of the threat of the enemy. I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, do not be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious and fight. Wait. He doesn't say the Lord will fight. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Verse 15. When our enemy heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. But from then on, only half my men worked while the others stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and the other holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belt to their side, and the trumpeters stayed with me to sound the alarm. What was supposed to take years, they built in 52 days. And if you ever read Nehemiah, it's crazy because the enemy came after them like wild. But Nehemiah was like, nah. So while you're building the wall, you're going to have like a weapon here don't worry, we got you. They decided that they were going to build something together. So what does it mean building a living campus? I believe in 2020, God's called us to build something, and there it is. We fight for the next generation and those who have yet to belong. And so what does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you, but first I'm going to take a drink of water. And I've saved the biggest part for last. It's time for us to fight for our community. The house has been in disrepair. Our children are in portables that are older than 20 years. They walk outside and they sit in these portables, and we believe in that generation. And I've talked about it for a long time, but finally we decided that this is the year that we begin to put our money where our mouth is. And I want to show you the new plans for a living campus. Go to the next slide. Go to the last slide. Now you can see the building that we're in kind of just sits off there in the background. And then this whole front area is a big play structure that we just want moms and their toddlers to come and play all week long. How are we going to do this? There was a moment when Israel came out of Egypt and they were standing on the promised land, and Moses decided to send 12 spies into the land. Two spies came back and 10 said, "We can't do it." And 2 said this. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they were panicking. "It's going to cost a lot. It's gonna be crazy. How? When? Where? I can barely afford my own house. How can we do this?" This is what Caleb said. Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses, and he said, "Let's go at once to take the land." He said, "We can certainly conquer it." I believe that God has called us to build a living campus for this community in Cedar Park. And last and finally, go to the slide where how are we going to do this? What will it take? Responding by faith, let's do this. A willingness to fight for each other in e-groups. A commitment to gather with expectation. And use what God has given us to build a living campus with our time, treasure, and talent. We are not a church that's on pause. We are a church that believes that God has called us to fight for the next generation and those that are in this community that are desperate for God to move. They are building mosques all over this place. They're building other things and other stuff is going up. But how much more should we build a community of people who are going to come together and be restored to who Jesus is and the miracle of what God wants to do in this place? Would you stand with me? And will you put that first picture up? Yeah. So good. I want to thank my wife and Janine Jacobson, who's been working with a firm, an architectural firm, as they've been drawing it up. We wanted to show it to you today because it's time to take a bold step. And listen, you don't have to be afraid or fear. Maybe you were a part of a church where they had a building campaign and all of a sudden everything fell apart. We got some smart people in our midst. And you got a pastor who keeps his heart right before the Lord. But this is our year to fight. And you know what the first thing I want to fight for is not a building. You. I just believe if we fight for each other, that'll come. So I'm not going to like, oh, we are talking about this, thermometer. I believe if we do what God's called us to do, which is fight for each other, that God will take care of what he wants to do in our midst. Because when we fight for each other, we're going to climb into the car of someone who God wants to move in extraordinary ways and bless them in ways that they couldn't even imagine. And because you got in the vehicle with them and you stood and fought for what God wants to do in their life, they're going to be able to do things that they didn't even imagine. So I'm just going to tell you this as we close. Don't think it weird if you find yourself in places that God wants to open up unusual doors of resources and financial blessing. But I just want to let you know that you were never meant to do it alone. And so we're going to make a commitment as a church to fight for each other, because all of us are going to step in and see God, first of all, take care of our house so that we can take care of his house. Stand up to God with a voice of truth. Okay, it's just so good. In the lobby, right behind this wall, we have two huge billboards that will show you the entire plan for the property and an aerial view where you'll see the new parking lot and where the kids' facility is going to go, and then multiple versions of what we'll do in days ahead, Lord willing. But my favorite story, and I end with this, is Caleb, or Gideon, God had called to go and fight for Israel. And they were going to fight the Midianites. And it was an army that the Bible describes as his numbers as the sand in the seashore. So just think about that for a moment. And you're sitting there at the sand and you look down and there's like millions of granulars. That's what this army felt like to the Israelites. And so Gideon, just like me, I'd be like, Lord, we need more people. How could a small group of people do something like this? If it wasn't for the story in the Bible, that's why we bring everything to God's word, because our minds get out of control. Oh, I'm not going to tell everybody about this, Lord. It's too big. And everyone's going to sit there and go, but how? Because I'm panicking, but how? So what do? I bring it back to God's word. And what does God's word say? So Gideon rallied up as many as he could. And then God said, nah, I'm going to do it with even less. And so he whittled it down. Who knows the story? How many did he whittle it down to? 300. To fight an army that was too many to count. In this room, there's about 300. Could 300 do it? They did in the Bible. The Bible was written so that we can put our life in line with it. And if I'm going to put my life in line with it, then I'm going to say, and I'm going to tell you, and it's not just because I'm a pastor. It's because the Word of God says that he can do more with a few who believe than many who struggle.
So will you do it with me? I think the first response is, yes, we can. Will you do this with me?
Yes, we can.
Will you do this with me?
Yes, we can.
Come on. Jesus, we declare today that you are the victorious one. Can you bring the house lights down a little bit? Thank you. Father, we come to worship you. We come to magnify you. We are a people who are saying today that we will fight for all that you've called us to do. We're going to fight for the next generation. We're going to fight for those who are not yet home. We're going to fight for each other. And so, God, we lift our voice. Because your word says you fight for us. And so I just declare over you today that number one, you're going to be able to find an e-group that you're going to begin to build relationship with. And two, you're going to see God begin to break through in your life in ways you didn't know. And I'm going to ask right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would begin to open doors of resources, jobs, and finances, and ability, and Holy Spirit words of encouragement, that God, we would begin to graft ourselves together and say, yes, we can. Come on, let's sing this song one last time as we close. Ah!